Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Now, I am a Southern boy. I come from North Florida, so I like to interact people in my speaking. So if I ask you to touch someone, don't be afraid. I know you're up in the Northeast here. So I'm going to engage you a little bit, but I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and I'm going to share a little bit. I have a presentation to share about what we're doing in Asia. Our ministry is called Project Reach, and we take the word reach, and we use that. Actually, we have, if you can go to the first slide there, we use it to say reaching East Asia with the commission of Christ. And what we simply are endeavoring to do is we know this, that God is wanting to bring the commission of Christ to every nation. Thank God for America. Can you say, thank God for America?
Thank God for America.
We live in one of the most blessed nations there is. I don't know how advantageous we are, how privileged we are, the freedom we have, the resources we have. You know, sometimes we're guilty of complaining about our nation, complaining about what's going on here. But I really challenge you not to complain, but begin to proclaim God's will over this nation. He birthed this nation with a purpose, and it has been from America that the nations have been touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the voice that is coming out of this nation has reached so many. In Luke chapter 19, if you look at verse 10, we see this. Jesus made this statement, for the Son of Man has come to seek and do what? To save that which was what? Lost. I believe the greatest concern in the heart of the Father today is still remains to be the lost. If you hear the voice of God today, His voice remains the same. God loves the world and He seeks to save the world and to reach those that are lost. And He uses you and I, the church, to reach them. Now, sometimes we get the mentality that God's going to use someone else and we're praying for revival and we're believing for God to move among other groups and other areas. But in reality, is God uses you and I to reach the lost. And I want to challenge you here tonight as an American church. The church is not a building. The church is not a denomination. It is a people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Touch three people and say, you are the church. Shake them if you have to. Wake them up. You are the church. You are the ecclesia. You are the called out ones sent to represent Jesus Christ unto this world we live in. And this world needs the message that we have. And we have that message. And I want to just encourage you here tonight. You have that message. You are more powerful than you realize. Your life, your influence, your voice you have, you become the voice of God to the community around you, the society around you. And God wants to use you. I remember as a young teenage boy, I was so afraid. I was afraid to stand in front of more than two or three people. I was, you know, my sister, she kind of joked. She said, you were socially retarded. Not to, you know, but I was that way. I could not fear motivate. It had such power over my life. But it was this simple, powerful message, this truth that God loves me. That God had a plan for me, that it changed my life, and it put me on a path that was different from what any human path could orchestrate for my life. And I just want to encourage you here tonight. You may think that your path, there's no hope, there's no destiny, you don't know the end, you question what's going on in your own life. God has a plan for you, and that plan will amaze you of where He takes you. I never imagined where God would take me. Being so fearful, and God set me free from fear. But the simple message that He comes to seek and save that which is lost, sin, the nature of sin, the work of darkness and Satan in the world today binds people, holds people back, pushes humanity down. But I want to tell you, there is the living Son of God who has come to lift humanity. And he wants to lift lives. He wants to lift this nation. He wants to lift nations. He wants to lift groups of people. And he's doing that. If you can go to the second slide, you see my beautiful family. They say behind every good man is a better woman. And so I have a beautiful wife, Krista, and my three kids. My oldest son now is taller than I am. I have to look up to him. How many has to do that already? You're having to look up to your children. He's only 14 years of age. But, you know, I'm so thankful they have followed us for the call that's not only on my life, but our life as a family. See, the call doesn't just come to the individual. It comes to the family also. And so God wants to use you here tonight in America. He wants to use your family. Can you say amen? And so he put a vision in our heart and a dream from the year 2000. We first went to Taiwan, and then he took us in 2004 to Thailand. We've been there now 10 years. And I had no earthly idea that I would be launched out of this place. It would be a, what we call like an Antioch church where there is estimated over 1,500 missionaries that live in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Never knew this when we moved there. And they base out of Chiang Mai, Thailand to impact not only East Asia, but even to the Middle East. And it's a great testament when you hear some of these missionaries. But God put it on our heart, and he told us that he gave us two objectives. And the first objective was the Lazarus objective, and that is to reach the spiritual dead with the life of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That is always the heart of God, to evangelize, to see the lost saved. In East Asia, just East Asia, where he put it on our heart, there's over 2 billion people that live in East Asia. Now, we live in a world of 7 billion people, and out of that, 2 billion in East Asia, and it is estimated, the statistics is, over 80% of this 2 billion do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Over 80% do not understand the name of Jesus, have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And so we carry the same mentality that Oswald J. Smith had, was that everyone deserves to hear the gospel at least once before everyone hears it twice. At least they should hear it at least one time. And so God put that burden on my heart that in this area of Asia, that there are so many that have not heard the name of Jesus. It's like a foreign name to them. And that burden burned within me like a fire, and he put us there. And then he gave me a second objective, and that's what we call the Timothy objective. If you know 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul saw four generations. He saw himself. How many know God wants to move you outside of yourself? He doesn't want you to be selfish. Can you say amen? Touch three people, say, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish now. Don't think just about, you know, America, we're taking selfies of each other, putting them on Facebook. He wants to take us out of ourself. And Paul said this, what I put into you, Timothy, I poured my life, I poured the doctrines of Christ into you, Timothy. I want you to pour that into other faithful men who will pour that into other faithful men. And so Paul saw four generations that when he poured himself into Timothy and Timothy into other men who would reach other men, he saw four generations. And I believe that's the challenge of the American church, that we've got to get out of this mentality that is just us four and no more. And then we got to start impacting lives beyond us that reaches generations. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say, come on, preach it, white boy? Amen. You are the American church. And I know there's many of you, you don't have that mentality, but when you go through America, you see we're missing something. I live overseas and I'm seeing pastors and leaders who are sacrificing their lives, and many of them have been in prison up to three times. And when you see what they've given for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and here we're upset if our fast food restaurant is closed on a certain day. And we got to ask ourselves a question. Do we hold the heart of the Father? The first nation we're going, if you could put in the next slide we have here, we're working in several nations. One is Cambodia. If you understand this nation, such death and tragedy that has stricken this nation. The Khmer Rouge, the millions slaughtered. Just, and if you ever visited there and you've seen the killing fields, and you see the more, you see the human skulls, you see the what was done, the torture. It is terrible. It was demonic. It was set up by Satan. But now God has opened this nation up, and now there's so many ministries now coming in here with a freedom. But yet, you know, they say they're a democracy, but it's very manipulated. It's very controlled by communism still, the influence of Vietnam. But God is turning the killing fields into the living fields. And we're influencing 50 pastors in this nation through our module trainings. If you go to the next slide, our heart is to duplicate what we're doing. And we do a module training where we come in and we teach these pastors and leaders about three specific areas. Number one is their position, knowing their position in the kingdom of God. How many know every believer needs to know their position? You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know the doctrines of Christ. You need to know how to use your authority. Can you say amen? And so we teach that to these leaders and pastors. Number two, we talk about their purpose as a leader, their purpose as a husband, as a wife, as a father, a mother. We teach them the purpose in becoming leaders in the second module. And then in the third module, we go on to power, understanding the power of the kingdom of God. And one of that is understanding how to build a team, do a team ministry. Don't just rely on one gift, but build a team of people around you to impact society. But also the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many are so thankful for the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Soran, who we've been working with, he's now duplicated. He takes our teaching, translated into Khmer, and now he's been going out. He's reaching 15 leaders on the Vietnamese border himself. And we believe this, that in every nation is the ability to fulfill the commission of Christ in that nation. And we believe that when the missionaries come and they build the ministry upon the missionary, when the missionary leaves, the ministry leaves. But we're building leaders. We're building the nationals so that when we leave, the nationals are still there. The ministry is still there. The message is still there. Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what your nationality. And He's still performing the book of Acts among the lives of people. And so we're so thankful for Him and what God is doing through Him. Let's go to the next slide. You'll see the next slide. We've been working in Vietnam. Amazing door God's opened to us in Vietnam. We're doing 50 leaders in the north, 55 leaders in the south. When we first went into Vietnam, you had to get down in the vehicle and hide and cover your face. And you had to run out into a room and go upstairs immediately. And here was all these pastors and leaders huddled all together in one little room, just waiting for you to teach the Bible, the principles that many of us, we take advantage of. How many has more than five Bibles in your home? You're blessed. You are blessed. They're so hungry for the words of God. They'll stay in a room from early morning all the way to the evening just to hear the principles of what's in this book. And the revelation that we as Americans have that they yet do not. One thing they do have, they have dedication, they have sacrifice, but they still don't understand what we've been blessed to know and to grow in. And so it's been wonderful. You go to the next slide, you'll see in this network, God opened two networks, and the larger network we're working with, they're actually now registered with the government. We still have to be careful in what we're doing, but they influence over 250,000 people. And when God told us to go there, we had no idea that we would be training these leaders. And they said, they told us, Pastor Scott, you don't understand. When you're teaching us, we have it divided up into three regions of Vietnam, and we have district leaders. And everything you teach unto us, we filter it down through our networks into the local bodies. And they said, so you're actually influencing 250,000 people. And I was like, holy cow, that's amazing. But they built their churches in the midst of persecution. And all the leaders we have, they've been in jail at least once or three times. To hear their stories, you would cry to hear what they've been through. If you go to the next slide, I just want to share you this dear lady. She's a pastor, her and her husband. And when we first went in, we shared one of the teachings we teach is understanding the love of God. How many love understanding the principle of God's love that is unconditional, that sets us free from religion and dead works of the Old Testament, that we now live in what? The New Testament. Amen? And when you understand how he loves us and how that his love transforms the heart. And I was simply teaching that teaching in the small room of pastors and leaders. And she, I'll never forget, she sat in the back left corner and just tears running down from her eyes. And I saw the hand of God coming on many of them. The anointing would just fell in the room. Spirit of God. And he was all over and she was just bawling. She got down on her knees bawling. And then, you know, she said she had to repent because her and her husband, they only knew God out of the Old Testament. And she said they had grown bitter and they had been persecuted and local authorities had done so much to them and they were ready to close their church. They were ready to give up. I went back a year later and she told me, she said, do you know Pastor Scott? She said, from that teaching, I left that week. And within 7 days, I went back to my own community. I won 11 people to Christ. She said, remember, we only had a handful of people in our home church. But in 7 days, that simple message, I won 11 souls to Christ. Today, their church is thriving, and they have every week, she's influencing, teaching over 50 children every week. It's amazing. And we understand this, that they can do more than I can do. They speak the language. They eat the food. They know the customs. And I could go and try to reach 11 people for Christ, but they can do it faster than I can. And that's what the heart of what we're doing. We're pouring into them so that they can multiply and duplicate and do more than we could ever fathom to do. Thank God for his love. Amen. He loves you here tonight. If you're here, you question, he loves you no matter what you've been through. Let's go to the next slide. We've been working in this area, the Golden Triangle region. When you understand this area with opium and poppy fields and the history behind this, it's truly amazing. Deaths and killings and all kinds of scandals. But in the midst of all this, we're working with a network of pastors that's working in Burma and Laos and Thailand and one from southern China. We're bringing them into Thailand and we do our training with them. And God has transformed their lives and given them boldness. Let's go to the next slide real quick. In this area, last December, the leader came to me. He said, Pastor Scott, can you give us $1,000? We want $1,000 because he said in the month of December, we have the legal right to hold Christmas celebrations. And he said, in that time, we maximize and the local authorities, they don't want us to evangelize, but we hold these Christmas celebrations and we use that time to share Christ. And so he said, so I gave $1,000, our ministry, and there were some other ministries that gave money. And in the month of December, through the Christmas celebrations, they won 54 families, not people, but families to Jesus Christ through their outreaches. Truly amazing. And we're talking about going into villages that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ before. Bound by animism and Buddhism and all kind of practices that holds people in bondage and fear. If you understood what the practices were there, it's terrible how Satan enslaves people. But yet Christ come to set them free. Amen. Next slide. You'll see that we've been working in Laos, and this has truly been amazing work that we've been doing there for quite some time. We can't bring the leaders out of Laos as often as we can because Laos is one of the most persecuted nations there is in Southeast Asia, even more so than China. The leaders of Laos are still old school communist leaders who believe that Christianity is a manipulation of the West to brainwash people, to bring them onto their side, to convince them against communism. And so they seek to eradicate Christianity from all areas of Laos. And in the early, I don't know if you know, in the early 80s, there was great persecution there. And we have some amazing leaders that shared their stories, but we've taken out of holding meetings with 60 leaders, we chose 15 leaders to impact. Because these leaders were really influencing and doing the work of the ministry. And so we poured into them. And to hear their stories is truly amazing. Let's go to the next slide. These leaders have already done, they planted 14 new churches. Now this is in a heavily persecuted nation. 14 new churches. They've seen 323 people born again. And they have over 67 families that are being discipled, not just winning them, but being discipled for Jesus Christ. Amazing. Next slide. I want you to look at some of these, see their faces. If you see this man on the bottom right, he shared with us that when he first became a Christian, the authorities came to his house at night. In the middle of the night, they yanked him out of his house. They beat him, threw him in a truck. And they're driving him out, and he said, "We're driving out to the middle of nowhere into the jungle." And he said, "We get there, they throw me out of the truck, they throw a shovel into my hands, they march me out into the jungle, and they put the pistol to my head, and they said, 'Begin digging a hole, dig the hole.'" And he says, "I know what they're doing." He said, "I realize that I am digging my grave. I'm digging that which I'm about to be buried in, because they know what has happened to me. I've been sharing my faith." And so as he's digging this hole, his thoughts are going through his mind. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Is this it or is this not it? And then he finally comes to the conclusion, "I know my destination. I know what has happened to me on the inside. I know the life of God and the love of God that has transformed me, that it is a reality, that no matter what I see on the outside, I know who He is on the inside and that He holds my eternity. And then if I die tonight, then I die and I will walk in heaven and I will meet Jesus." And so he digs the hole, they slap him and they put him in the hole and they stick the gun to his head and they said, "Deny this Jesus. This is a tool of the West. This is not true. It's a manipulation. Deny this Jesus." And he said, "Scott," I looked up at them, and the only thing I could say was, "I cannot deny him. I cannot deny he who is a reality inside of me in my own heart. He is more real to me. I cannot deny Jesus Christ." And they yanked him out and they beat him and they threw him back in the hole and they left. And he said, "I had to make my way back home the best I could find my way back home." But he said to this, he said, "No matter what they did and what they did the years after this," he said, "one thing I know for sure. My Savior, the dedication of what He sacrificed on the cross, what He went through, the beating He went through, the blood that poured from His body, it cannot compare to anything that I could go through. He is more real than my own life, and I believe in Him. And I'm going to make His name known wherever I can." Right now, he and one of our other leaders and three other church members are in jail. They were at a funeral, and they were quietly sharing the gospel. And the local village authorities, along with the government authorities, they have arrested them, and they're in jail right now. How many will pray for these believers? If you can, lift them up when you think about it. We're believing for their release. You know, their authorities are asking for money, but we know if we give money to them, it will be like a cash cow. They'll just keep arresting Christians and they'll keep expecting money. And so our director there, he said, "We will give no money, because the moment we start giving money, they'll start arresting more of us." And so they're just gonna have to sweat it out and go through imprisonment. This is the dedication that they have. And it is an honor and a privilege for us to be pouring the truths of who Jesus is into their hearts. Can you say amen? This lady you see, upper left-hand corner, truly amazing woman of God. She said when the gospel first came to her village, she said, "Scott," she said, "about 90% of our village came to Christ." She said the authorities understood that and they came to her village. And she said they lined us all up. She said they went one by one with their machine guns pointing at us and they said, "Deny this confession you have in this false religion. Deny this name, Jesus Christ." And she said, "You know," she said, "out of those who were born again," she said, "about 60% denied Jesus." And she said, "Listen," she said, "I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not judging anyone." She said, "Until you've been through that circumstance where they put a gun to your head, you cannot imagine the stress. You cannot imagine the anxiety. You cannot imagine the thoughts that go through your head." She said, but when they put the gun to my head and my husband, she said, I knew that Jesus is just as real as I, and as people I see around me, the village I live in, the family I have. I knew that Jesus was real. I knew what happened in my heart. I knew the burden of sin and the lifting of sin from my life, the freedom I experienced, the peace that came on the inside of me, the joy that enriched me. She said, I knew that it was true. And she said, I could not deny the name of Jesus. So I told them no. And so she said, they took my husband. They beat us. They took my husband away. She said, I expected he's dead. He's gone. Said, never speak the name. Never preach this name. Never proclaim this name. And as she's back in her little house, she said, she's praying. And she said, there's something about when you pray, even in the midst of persecution, that the Holy Spirit comes. He comes. And she said, he's the comforter. And he just comes, rises up on the inside of you. And she said, there's a peace. And there, she said, I can't explain it. There is a supply that he gives that even in the midst of this, that is so such a tragedy, that peace that overtakes you, Scott. She said, it's truly amazing. Over a month later, they released her husband. He was still alive. He came back. And as they gathered together in their home, they've been threatened that if you ever speak the name of Jesus again, you will die. She said, we looked at each other and we prayed. And we asked ourselves, what shall we do? And we looked at each other and she said, with God on the inside of us, the fire that burns inside of us, we both said to each other, we cannot stop sharing this love that has been a free gift giving unto us. We will go and share with others. So she said, we committed to do it very wisely, very secretly. And to this day, now, she is now has a woman's ministry that has over 50 women, many of them pastors' wives that she ministers to. She said, Pastor Scott, when you first came teaching the principles of the Bible, and every time we get through teaching, she wants it taped and she wants it on a CD. Because she goes back and they have these little VCD players in Asia and she puts them in. She listens to them over and over. The principles we teach to them, she said, I listen to them over and over and I write them down and I go over them and over them. And she said, then I go out and I minister to these other ladies and in these other areas. She said, you don't understand what you're giving us. It's life. It's life, and we're carrying this life to other places. And this is what she told me. She said, since you started doing the training, she said, my husband and I have now reached 13 villages that have never been reached with the gospel of Jesus. No one has set foot in these villages ever. And she said, my husband and I, we have now physically gone into 13 unreached villages sharing the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We live in a blessed nation. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. We live in a blessed nation. And that's what's in our heart. Our heart is to be the voice of God, that we've been so blessed in the nation we call America. We've been so blessed in understanding the voice of God that has come to us, that God is a God that loves us. God is a God who has redeemed us. God is a God who has rescued and seeking and saving the lost. And we were the lost. And we've now come from death and we've passed to life. And we've understood the principles of Jesus Christ. And we've grown and we've seen blessing come to us and our children. But that's not where it stops. God is wanting to bring that message that he put into us now to seek and save the lost. And he wants us to open our mouths and to stretch forth our hands and to walk with our feet and to influence the people we touch around us. And so I hear one cry for the American church is this, that we have a job to do. And the job has not changed. We are still the nation that is the one who God has lit a light, a city upon a hill, a light in the darkness to be among the nations to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior, he is the Redeemer, he is the Healer, and he is the lover of our souls. But I challenge you this, if we're going to see America change, and I know we look and we say, look at the politics, look at what's going on, look at society now, look at what's, I don't care. Let's stop talking about this. Let's do one thing and let's say this, there is hope for America. There is hope for the United States of America because you and I are that hope because Jesus lives inside of us. You are the hope of this nation, and you carry the voice of God. You carry the ability of God. You carry the grace of God. You carry the healing of Jesus Christ in your hands. And I want to challenge you as the American church. Let's take our place. Let's do our job. Let's rise up and let this message that has transformed us to go beyond us from just one generation, just ourselves, and begin to look for generations like Paul. Let's pour into our children, but let's go beyond our children. Let's touch our children's friends. Let's touch our coworkers. Let's touch our employers, our employees, whoever they are, our fellow students, if you're in college. I don't know who you are, but those that are around you, God wants to use you to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. You say, but Scott, I can never do that. Just reflect on who he is. Just simply step back and reflect on what he's done inside of you. Simply think about the love that has come to your heart, that has transformed you. And when you look at that love that has transformed you will motivate you and push you to the people that are around you. Quit looking to yourself and look to him. I believe that is one of the greatest things we need to do. I see the American church wrestling and intellectualism and trying to reason God and figure God out. Listen, you're never going to figure God out. He's bigger than you. And the one thing I remember, I was in China, and this 80-year-old man, we went into a village, never heard the name of Jesus, and we sat down on his little stools on his dirt floor, and you address the elderly as uncle or aunt in that culture, and we said, uncle, we have a message we want to share with you, and we began sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And as we're sharing the gospel and sharing about Jesus and sharing about the Father who loved the world, and his Father sent his Son, and he sacrificed his Son so that the world could live, that upon Jesus he placed the sin and the failures and the nature of humanity that kills and steals, he put it all on Jesus so that now we can be free. And tears began to fall from his eyes. And so we stopped and we said, dear uncle, what do you think? What do you think about this message? And he said this, he said, right here in my mind, he said, I don't know what to think. He said, because in my mind, I've been taught that there is no God all my life. I'm almost 80 years old, and I've been taught that there is no God. There is no religion. I've been taught all these things. No one said, and he said, no one has ever told me about this Father who loves people. No one has told me about this Son. No one has ever come to me and shared this with me. And I'm almost 80 years old. Why have I never heard this? So he said, up here, it makes no sense. But he said, in here, as you begun to share, in here, something tells me that this is real. Something on the inside convinces me that this Father who loves is true. You can never figure God out. Up here, you will never understand him, but I dare say if you will open this and listen to your heart, the simple truth is this. He is your Father who loves you. And he's calling you back. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he has a purpose for you. God is here in this place here tonight. I believe this. God wants to do something in the American church. Can I pray with you here tonight? I want you all to stand to your feet. And as you stand to your feet, I don't want you to just think about yourself standing to your feet, but I want you to think about Jesus in you standing to your feet. Because I believe this, the American church is more powerful than it realizes, that it understands and comprehends. Many of you, you would dare say, how could I ever pray for the sick, or how could I ever witness to someone? But I dare say this, you are more powerful because of he who lives in you And I simply want to make a group prayer, a mass prayer right here tonight, that God would begin to ignite you as the American church to do what you've never done before, to go where you've never gone before, and to say what you never said before. And that he would begin to spark and ignite grace, gifts, and talents and callings in your life. Do something with me. Join hands with the person next to you. Father, right now in this place here tonight, I ask you that you see every soul, you see every person, and you see that each one of these is a representative of who you are and what you're doing in this nation. This nation, America, this nation, you are calling this nation. America, America, you're calling it back unto the roots of that which is the principle that you are the Father. You are the Father who has founded this place and given it a grace. And that, Lord, your hand and your blessing is upon them. And that blessing is not by accident, but that blessing holds a purpose. And it is a key to reach those who do not know you. And so, Father, here tonight, each person in this room, I say in the name of Jesus, let there be grace, 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 grace. Let there be anointings. Let there be stirrings. Let there be fires on the inside. Let there be a voice that is stronger than the voice of their fears. And let them know, Lord Jesus, that you are calling them as the frontline army of God to do what the church has never done before. That before you return, we shall see greater works than those of Jesus in our own communities, in our own schools, in our own families. Father, we call out the lost and we ask you, Lord, give us a burden, give us a passion, give us a fire, give us, Father God, your own heart to reach those who are around us, and let our words become your words. Anoint them in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. As you remain standing with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this evening and you've never given your life to Christ, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as you remain standing, if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Christ, I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm glad that you are. I'm not asking you if you're religious or you go to church or you're a member of a church. Do you know if you've given your life to the one who gave his life for you? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Church won't make you right with God. Being a member of a church, a sacrament of a church, only by receiving Christ. And if you're not certain that you've ever done that, before we go one moment further in this service, we want to make certain that you have had the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. The scriptures declare, and Jesus himself said, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And when we die, those are the only two options. Oh, but the price he paid to deliver men and women from an eternity without him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, as you're standing, you say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I want to invite Christ in my heart. Please pray for me. And we'll pray for you right where you're standing. In fact, the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're standing. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you lift your hand right now and I'll pray for you? Do it right now. Lift it high so I can see it. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else say, Pastor, include me with those that have raised their hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to make certain as heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone else that we may have missed? Wonderful. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Christ will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt and burden of my sin. I open the door of my heart and life. In Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and And I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.